We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 64. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from tvaholic.com.
And I'm Emery from mytakeontv.com.
And I want to say congratulations to Ray for getting the episode correct without having to ask ahead of time what episode it was.
Well, she didn't ask. I did. Spoiler alert.
But Emery didn't know, and I knew. So.
Anyway.
It's a nice reverse. He's a
nice reversal. Yeah.
3 weeks off and and ready to go.
All right, guys. What's new?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway.
What is
moving
new?
On.
In the news.
Why don't you tell us?
Oh, well, I didn't intentionally do that either. I meant to ask you people what was new, but obviously we're not into the small talk, so we're moving on. News.
You're the one just before we started recording that said we need to move this along.
I did. Actually, I think this is after we had recorded, after we had pushed the record button, which there are some things Jason needs to edit for the reference. Yeah. Fox has decided to end 24 at the end of this season. It's a shame because the season's been such a letdown that I wish that it was better and they were going out on a high note. But I read something today that spoiled me greatly that really kind of intrigued me and pissed me off at the same time. So I'm interested to see what happens next.
Well, the promo they showed at the end of last week, you know, splashed a bunch of people's faces up on the screen that made it look like they were definitely going all out.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the season. I don't know. I've kind of liked this season until, yes, CTU gets destroyed and there's a mole at
suddenly.
CTU. And I was like, great. I was so hoping. I mean, we'd gone so far into the season with, and I was just hoping that that really was just a side. You kind of, in the back of your head, you're going, they're not going to spend this much time on a, you know, another character and they're not going to be integral right. to the plot somehow or something. But... you were just hoping that it was, like, one time they were going to just throw you a loop with this story off to the side that didn't tie back into, because that would have been a twist, that would have been a worthy twist.
Right, right. So that's 24, what sounds like we're going to, obviously Jack Bauer's not going to die, spoiler alert, because they're going to make a 2-hour movie.
Yeah,
so
otherwise the movies would have to have taken place in the past.
But... and here's what I think should happen. I think the movie should take place in the past, and it should be that way they can get everybody back. And Tony Almeida can be good again, and Michelle Dessler can be alive again, and it could just be awesome. So if they need any advice, I can let them know my story plans. I've got it all mapped out. In other Fox news, Fox has finally scheduled the return. Well, we knew it was coming back in April. Glee is coming back on the 13th at 9:28. And running until 10:30. I guess it's
stupid
to capture, like, the half hour of American Idol viewership, but...
it's stupid.
Can... guys, I keep singing it. Anybody...
yes.
We know. We can hear you singing it.
I mean, I guess it's still... they needed...
love.
They needed 90 minutes for American Idol, or close to 90 minutes for American Idol that week still.
I think that they actually made it, they built it to be 9, they did this for Glee. They made, like, it was only supposed to be an hour, and Glee was supposed to premiere at 9, but they're making American Idol an hour and a half so that, Glee can get that 9 o'clock to 9:30 viewership, because the 9:28 is when Glee officially starts, so they'll get the 2 minutes of the half hour, and that way it's kind of a big thing. And I can't imagine the affiliates are happy about it.
Yeah, well, it pushes their news back, which pushes their after the news stuff back, and but it also it's sort of the weird, you know, it's the weird timing thing where, you know, if you start watching something at 9, you're probably not going to flip over, or if there's something that you always watch at 10.
Oh, come on, they don't care about that.
No, they don't care about that.
Audience is too big.
For
them to care about that. Those of us who don't watch American Idol aren't important to Fox.
Exactly.
It's just a weird...
they're not worried
anytime something runs from the half hour to the next half hour, it's just an odd timing that messes up
I don't like it because it messes up my tapings, but...
yeah, exactly.
Well, not just that. It's just an odd... viewing time that, you know, if you wanted to watch that and something else in the 9 or 10 o'clock hour, you have to, you know, you sort of have to choose between the one thing.
Again, I mean, for the, they don't care about us. They just care about people who are watching American Idol. And since there's a lot of people watching American Idol, I'm just saying they don't have to worry about us.
That's way more Fox interesting news.
Not interesting,
but like, thank God. Fox has officially killed off Till Death. They have 14 episodes that have yet to air. 14 episodes.
That's just one of those that you're just like, somebody struck such a good deal for them to keep buying that series, even though it didn't get any ratings.
Yeah, I mean, would anybody care if the last 14 episode aired? No. No, they wouldn't. It's not even worth airing at this point. Anyway, I never watched a single episode except the pilot, and I don't intend to watch any more. CBS has scheduled the episode of Criminal Minds that will serve as a backdoor pilot for a spinoff for this upcoming episode, Wednesday, April 7th. Starring Forest Whitaker, right?
I believe so. That's
So, I have the pilot script. I haven't read it yet, so maybe I should do that before it airs. And we'll see what happens. I can't imagine that they need another Criminal Minds spinoff.
Well, it
kind of
sounds interesting, but it also sounds funny in that story that was posted out there of the CBS fall lineup.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means.
Somebody posted a story of that CBS had announced their fall lineup, and it was going to be spinoffs only. Yeah. And so
it's an April Fool's
pretty much
thing.
Is. Yeah, yesterday
for April Fool's, and so it was shows like you know, How I Met Your Father and stuff like that, and then it was like Criminal Minds and Criminal Minds 2 and Criminal Minds 3 all in one night.
What's funny about that is that there are, with the Criminal Minds, that's four spinoffs of two shows that they have. Like, do they really need that? No.
Well, yeah, I know. So that'd be you'd have two NCISs, three CSIs, and two Criminal Minds. That would be...
And there's your primetime lineup.
Hey, it's working for them.
Yeah, exactly.
And that continues to work, and it actually does. Like, it's not just it's not sort of like fluky, like it kind of is doing okay or whatever.
Which is clearly, there's two CSIs and an NCIS spinoff already on TV. CBS bores me.
But the idea of a Criminal Minds spinoff has always interested me because this group that they have on Criminal Minds is supposed to be the top. The best.
So is this, you know, like the second best?
The best of the best. And so I've always wondered what would be a spinoff, you know, where would this other group and what would they be specializing in or doing or something like that that would make them somehow interesting to watch when you're supposed to be watching the group that's the best.
Hmm. Chew on that, folks. Moving on. After their first episode of their second seasons, Showtime has already announced third season renewals for Nurse Jackie and United States of Tara. I was not a huge fan of Nurse Jackie last year. I watched it. I thought it was an okay show. I didn't think it was the greatest. I really, after watching the episode three through eight this season, I really like it because they're giving the supporting cast more of a chance to shine, and they're fantastic. So I'm glad. I'm glad both of them got a pickup because I'm enjoying them.
I like Nurse Jackie a little bit more this season than last season because last season just seemed too far-fetched in that it didn't seem possible that she could work at a hospital for so long and nobody would know anything about her personal life except for her one friend. But all the drama within the episodes were mainly built on that one premise.
Right.
And it just didn't seem possible that her husband would never have ever shown up to the place that she works. Because it's not like she just started working there. She's worked there for quite some time.
Right.
Okay.
That's Jason's rant about Nurse Jackie.
Nurse Jackie.
HBO has renewed the Ricky Gervais show for a second season, which I love Ricky Gervais, so I will watch anything he's in, even if it's animated, and it's just him and Steven laughing about Carl. So, I'm in. And last thing we have in our news here, USA has set premiere dates of Burn Notice and Royal Pains for Thursday, June 3rd. And White Collar, Psych, and the new show Covert Affairs with Piper Perabo, Chris Gorham, will premiere in July. When's the other one come out? Because I know that was picked up, too. The Sarah Sahi show? Say that three times fast.
Yeah, I'm not sure when.
What
that
is it
one,
even called? Is that Chasing Kate? Ray, what's our show called?
Something
Kate.
Yeah, something Kate. I don't remember right now. It's not till later. I mean, it's been picked up, but they're still.
Yeah, Michael Truck was in that show, right?
I don't know.
Anyway, so that's what you're saying.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to see Covert Affairs. I mean, that one sounds interesting.
Yeah.
No mention of the Charlie Sheen thing.
Oh, here's something interesting. Charlie Sheen let it leak that he wants out of 2.5 Men at the end of his contract because I guess he's not happy with the money he's making.
And it's all negotiating ploy stuff. And
shut it, Charlie Sheen. Shut it down.
That they won't sign him back up, and because apparently they have a deal for CBS is not just renewed it, but has like a deal for like 2 more seasons.
Right.
Already in place, and so it would be it'd be something else if all of a sudden the star of the show wanted to actually leave.
Yeah, I think that they have grounds to say, look, dude, we stopped production so you could go beat your wife, so you have to stick with it.
I don't
think that's exactly why they stopped production, but...
I was saying, what I think was really funny is that Ray's like, are we not going to mention Charlie Sheen? And then I went into it like, oh, here's an interesting story. Like she didn't just mention Charlie Sheen. And then I was like, oh, guys, have you heard this? Oh,
what
man.
About ABC picking up Castle for another season?
Oh, my God. Yeah,
well, yeah, that's Ray. Right. I forgot about that one.
Ray's got
I don't
all
know
the
how
news
I forgot
today.
About that one.
Only the
how
news I
this?
Care about.
How about this? ABC picked up Castle for a third season.
And not just for third season, they've already picked it up for 22 episodes.
Right, which is what they pick up a lot of shows for, but Castle has been only getting the 13. Like, it only got the 13 this year, so it got the back 9 this year. But it's officially like a real show, guys. It's a real show. It's got 22 episodes. Any other news that you remember, Ray?
No, that was it.
Okay, just checking.
I think.
I can't believe I forgot to put that one on the list, because I was excited once I heard that. With Castle.
I finally caught up on Castle. Here's my feelings on Castle. Moving on. It's time for...
My only thought on Castle is that Stana Katic is really fast when she's naked.
Yeah, wow, she's really fast when she's naked. Anyway, I mean, probably when she's not naked, too, but, I mean, she jumped in that bathtub like nobody's business. And people who don't watch Castle are like... What the hell are these assholes talking about? Anyway, prime time. All right. I don't know what Survivors is, but Jason wants to talk about it.
Well, I wanted to see if Ray wanted to talk about it.
TV show.
Oh, Ray, watching it too?
I am watching it.
Clearly it's a TV show. It's a TV podcast.
It's a BBC show. And,
okay.
It's what Jericho should have been.
Oh, okay.
A virus starts wiping out, starts taking over, they can't stop it, and people start dying all over the world, and handfuls of people were resistant to it.
I would say almost everybody around the world dies, not people start dying.
people start dying, you know, but over the course of the first episode, people start dying, and then they realize that it's not just...
It's like what everybody made us think the bird flu was going to be.
Right,
the swine
right.
flu, not the bird flu, the swine flu.
It turns out to be a true epidemic that kills off practically everybody, but there are some survivors that were resistant to it.
Get it? Survivors.
Now I do.
Anyway, the main character is somebody who got the flu. We thought she died, but it turns out she didn't.
Oh.
She recovered, and she's... Right before she got the flu, she wanted to go see her son at school because they were worried about him getting the flu, whatever. So okay. Now that she's alive, she's searching for her son.
Okay.
To the school and he wasn't there dead, so now she's searching for him.
Maybe there's
she's
an evil...
that he's alive.
Yeah, there's got to be an evil conglomerate somewhere that's got him captive. It's got to be it. Spoiler alert.
No,
well,
I don't think that's it.
I don't know anything
although
about
there
the
is... Although there
is some
this
kind
group,
of conglomerate,
yeah, that I
but it's not got her son.
And it's
should I sue someone for stealing my idea?
And it's not necessarily.
well, this was made 2 years ago, Amory. So
How do you know I didn't have it 2 years ago? Come on.
It may be evil, or, you know,
and it's a remake,
you
want to
know
so...
more about that group, because they haven't really given much about what that group is.
Or... Have you been watching the new season?
I haven't got into the second season yet. I've only watched the first season. When they moved, when they changed the time slot,
I'm gonna learn more about them.
Yeah, when they changed the time slot, it for some reason it was delaying when they were coming out on demand. So I got.
Yeah, they're not out there on demand now. That's my problem. I've missed the second one because it again, it's another example of a show that I said to tape only new ones, but it doesn't indicate sometime whether it's new or not.
Right.
So it doesn't always tape them, and I missed this past week because I had originally set it, and then my DVR was broken, and then the DVR fixed itself magically. And
I did that. Well, it involved me unplugging it, but it's still
I did the same several times. So, I unplugged it, restarted
so you,
it several times.
You magically fixed yours by unplugging it and plugging it back in, which is what you're supposed to do to reboot.
Well, I didn't know that I was supposed to do that.
Your cable box DVR.
Anyway,
what are we talking about Survivors for?
Because
we're watching it. Because I said something.
Well, I just didn't know. I didn't know if there was like something specific or
just because it actually is
just
a
talk
good.
About it.
It's like a good sort of post-apocalyptic type show.
Here's what I like about it, which is somewhat changing in season two, though I'm hopeful that it won't continue this way. I like that it's not really about, like, we get the hint that there's somebody out there. Though clearly they didn't actually create the virus. The virus just developed, you know what I mean? Like it just like swine flu. But there is something more going on that we don't know about yet. And I'm okay with that. Like on Jericho, we knew that there was something more going on because obviously somebody set off the bombs, right?
Right.
But what I like
United
that they
States
focus
government.
On. Right. What I like that they focus on. Amory, I was just speaking in general when the show starts, the concept.
Spoiler alert if you haven't watched all two seasons of Jericho. There's only about 10 of us out there who did.
Exactly. I like that it's really more focused on the characters and how they're surviving and what it's like to try to survive after something like this happens. And the
do
different
they have immunity
ways.
Challenges?
Huh?
So do they have immunity challenges?
No. People do get thrown out of the tribe.
Oh, man. The tribe has spoken.
Although it does sort of turn into a heroes versus villains at time.
Interesting.
I don't know if you could call them heroes or villains, given the makeup of the different groups, but...
Well, they run into some people that are...
Yes, they do run into people who are obviously indulging in their more evil or morally gray side because there's nobody there to make sure that they're not, so... But anyway.
I'm going
to
put it out there right now. If there was an apocalypse and I survived, I would totally be looting and causing riots in the street.
Okay.
Well, there is lots of looting going on. Not so many riots because there's not enough people to really get together for a full riot type of thing. But
the looting you can understand because everything's dead and the power's all off. And not the power's not completely off, but it's off enough that it's not going to survive forever. So, of course, you loot because you have no other choice. And
right.
Nobody's alive for you to pay money to, so even if you, whatever you were doing, it's looting, no matter what, because...
Exactly. Anyway.
I'm sure if you came upon a store where somebody actually was at the register, you would pay them, but most likely they're dead. So.
Anyway.
It is, it's pretty good, I like it a lot.
Maybe I will check it out.
I'm very upset that I missed this past week's episode, because I won't be able to continue because it really does rely. It's a story built on the previous episodes. So it's only six episodes, Amory. Like, both seasons are, like, season one was six and this season is six.
Man, a lot's happened.
A lot does happen. They're actually, like, super long episodes. They're not, like, a normal.
Okay.
They're not, like, long, long. The first one was 2 hours long, but the other ones are over 42 minutes. So.
Got it.
I only know this because I watched it on demand while I was moving and they were longer than. than the normal time of a TV show, because I would have to stick around to watch the end of it. All right, anyway,
moving on. The Amazing Race.
So yes, if you haven't watched it, give it a try. I'm sorry, what?
The Amazing Race.
Oh.
These people are...
They're stupid.
Idiot.
They're still stupid.
Idiot. Last week, the clue very clearly said, you cannot go until you have all of your coconuts. Three tribes. Was it three or four?
Almost all of them.
There's only 6 tribes left. And they all had to go back and recover like one coconut.
They're teams, not tribes.
Did I say tribes?
I'm like, tribes? What are you talking
about? I'm thinking about Survivor. Oh, I'm so
all
pissed about
two,
them.
All but two. Because anyway. Mike and Louie didn't have to go back, and Dan and Jordan didn't have to go back. But all of the other ones who did that task had to go back.
Yeah, morons. And of course, it was a non-elimination leg for this last week.
Well, you knew that because they were out on the middle of an island somewhere. So I kind of figured it was going to be.
I didn't think of it that way. I was just hoping that those two ladies were going to be kicked off because I hate them.
I know, but as Mona pointed out, they weren't going to be kicked off because everybody kept saying that. So you knew that they would be too obvious if they got
kicked off. The way the editing was. Yeah. But maybe these people are idiots. I hate these people, and I'm not rooting for any of them. Except maybe Steve and Allie.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. I don't love them. I mean, like, I'm not really... There's nothing about them that I've warmed to particularly, just that they're not as stupid.
Yes.
Stupid, because you remember he painted the wrong place in the beginning, so you know they're not really smart.
They just went into somebody's house and painted their house, even though it was a part of the thing. Moving on to, because I don't care about The Amazing Race, except to say that they're all idiots, and I can't understand how they're functioning. Chuck, season 3, episode 11 and 12, Chuck versus the final exam, and Chuck versus the American hero.
What was, the kill?
G with the win there. Tim G. He direct messaged me the night of the final exam and was like, I know who Sarah's kill is. It's Shaw's wife. And I wasn't even thinking that it could have possibly been Shaw's wife. And then Tim G was right. So kudos to you, Tim G.
I don't know why, but it didn't even cross my mind, which I was happy. Because then it actually turned out to be kind of a surprise in the next episode.
Dear Chuck writers and casting directors, Brandon Ralph was a bad idea.
Am I the only one that thinks that he looks like he's just getting over the flu in every episode?
I haven't heard that. That's hilarious.
Because he looks like he's sick or something. I don't know.
Like glazed eyes and, like a monotone voice. Bad decisions all around.
I mean, I've liked the storyline, but I
would have liked it more if it was a more charismatic actor.
And I didn't mind him at the beginning of the arc, but over the course of the arc, it hasn't.
We didn't really see him in the beginning, so
right, like
a lot of exposure to him.
Where Devin had to kill him, he was good in that episode.
I don't know. I think if he just had some chemistry with Sarah.
Yeah, like, how am I supposed to believe that she has any interest in this character when she doesn't have any chemistry with him? Any. She has more chemistry with John Casey than she does with Shaw.
They just didn't sell it very well why she would be interested in Shaw. Because Shaw's not, I mean, he's a spy, but he's not even, like, the type of spy that she usually is drawn to.
And he's
so
boring! Oh my god, is he boring.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, so anyway... Ray, what else are you liking about it? Are you liking the show? Is it still number one show?
I think it would stay like number one show. I don't really stop. I don't take something down from being the number one show just because I'm not enjoying a season. I'm not in love with the season. No, I did like the last episode we saw. What was that?
Yes,
American Hero.
I did too.
Yeah.
I liked that one a lot. I think I liked the one before it too because. Well, no, actually, not that I didn't like it, but I didn't love it.
I know what you mean. It's just like nothing is standing out as like, oh, I love this show as much as it was maybe in the first 5 episodes or last year or the year before.
I don't know.
For me, it kind of is. Disjointed or something.
Yeah, disjointed is a good one.
I like the story that they're telling over the course of the season.
See, I like the story, but I don't like I just feel like it's disjointed. The stories are happening too fast. They totally let down that Ellie and Awesome Africa story. Like, it's off.
I don't know. To me, though, it seems like it didn't necessarily slow down, but episodes stopped seeming too fast. Like, in the last few episodes, at least to me, that it seemed to cover the time frame more naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I like the story and the way they've brought things back in and the red test. And I really like Casey and how much he actually has like come to like Chuck, you know, in his way, mm-hmm. but still actually
mm-hmm.
even though he still finds him, you know, annoying and whatnot somewhat, but he still is. And the three of them, Casey, Morgan, and Awesome, all getting together in their own way.
Yeah.
For their own reasons.
I like that too. And I also like that they gave Ellie something like, sure, she only had a couple scenes or whatever in the episode, but she had enough of a scene to say, like, normally you would expect her to say, Chuck, what are you doing? You know, make something of your life. But here she is saying, you can't lose Sarah. Do whatever you have to keep Sarah. Like, she's on board too. Whether she needs to find out he's a spy. She needs to. Can't deal with it anymore.
I did like that too, you know, with Ellie. She's like, he went to you three.
Yes.
And not me.
So, I mean, I'm still watching. I'll still keep watching. I'll keep moderately enjoying them, but it's not like, it's not my favorite show that I'm watching during the week.
But I also like inside of that, one of my favorite things is how often Chuck is able to save the day because of one of the Buy More people doing something that they shouldn't be doing. Like,
buying, I love.
Like Jeff and Lester tailing, tailing the guys and actually being able to tell Chuck where they've taken Shaw. But I find it funny because in that they're like, you know, the super spies from the ring have taken Shaw, but they get tailed by these two morons.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to this coming week's episode, the way they've set things up.
The former finale, as it were.
Yeah. And then it looks like it'll continue on from there for another six episodes for a mini arc to end the season.
As long as he doesn't travel through time like he's Felicity, I'll be fine. Moving on to another show that's not my favorite this season, but
wow, jumping back into the past to take a shot at a show.
Yeah,
with,
and it's not a shot at it. It will always be a sore spot. It will always be a sore spot. Stupid time travel. Anyway.
Okay.
Greek season 3. Episode 19 and 20, The First, Last, and All Children, Grow Up.
Did you just say you're not enjoying the show?
Not as much as I had been in the first 10 of the season.
I would agree with that.
I don't know why that is. I can't put my finger on it. Maybe it's because I'm truly a Casey Cappy shipper, and I think that they need to be happy. And they're not. And they're not going to be. And it's almost like
they're not going to be, just because they're not right now.
You enjoyed the first 10 because the story was all about them getting together, and you didn't enjoy the second 10 because the story seemed to be mostly pulling them
apart. How
about
I explain why I didn't like it? I didn't like the second 10 because I don't believe in putting someone together just to have them have contention in the relationship. And I almost feel like that's what happened. But it's all about the relationship.
Relationships never have any problems.
But not but that's, that really.
It happened very quickly.
That's it. That's the problem.
Well, that's the one thing that happens in the show, though.
Yeah,
that we
getting
all
through their storyline so fast, it makes it feel like, oh, let's get them back together. 10 episodes later, they're already breaking up. Like, give them some room to breathe. Have them have storylines with other people so that their storylines aren't all about fighting with each other. And it works. I don't know. Like, I love the Rusty and what's her name? Dana storyline. I love Dana's hair in the finale. I love Clark
Dale
Duke
in the finale.
I love Dale. Dale, period. I love Dale.
That's
but
the third
just,
wheel and his blue yeah. light. And
I can't put a finger on why I don't love it as much as I loved the first 10. And it's not all about the Casey Cappy thing, but it has a lot to do with that. But I don't know. I just hope that the final season is, I don't know, more fun.
Have they confirmed that it's the final season?
I think they're all like just kind of viewing it as the final.
I think the first 10, for me, the reason I liked them more than the second 10 was they were consistently, well, the story they were telling was good too, but they were consistently funny. And while there's been some really good episodes, there's been some not as good episodes on the comedy front in the second 10 to me. And that's where I think, to me, the second half of the season has been up and down a little bit on. I haven't minded so much the story that they've been telling. Now, once they finally got to the conclusion, the one storyline that I do like in the second half of the season is sort of is the Rusty and Cappy and the Rusty and Ashley storylines.
The friendships there, I like that too.
I like those, the friendship with Rusty and Ashley, and then also Cappy and Rusty into the last couple episodes becoming more actual friends than like Big Brother, Little Brother.
Right.
Where they're become a little bit more on equal footing.
Right.
And I loved Rusty's revenge plan. That was really good. Get revenge by installing your own friend as the new president of your rival fraternity. That was really good.
So when I said I didn't like it or wasn't enjoying it, Ray, you were like, you're saying you didn't enjoy it? What's your thoughts? Are you saying that like you were surprised that I didn't because you did, or?
No, it was the way you originally phrased it, like you weren't liking it at all. I was expecting a different show, first
liking
of all,
it, but... Oh, okay. What were you expecting? Oh, a different
Lost.
Anyway, well, that's a whole different story.
But, yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean, I agree that they go through it too fast, and they probably could have handled the Cappy Casey thing differently. But in general, I'm actually still enjoying it. Like, it's one of the few shows that I want to watch right away, so...
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I can't do it anymore, but it was one of the shows that there aren't very many shows these days that I'm like, I want to watch this live.
Right.
Because
right.
I want to watch it right away. I want to see what happens. And that's one of them that I actually enjoy watching as soon as I can. So
cool.
Yeah. Well, there's so much stuff on Monday nights that like this past Monday night. And since I work nights and I can't watch anything in the 10 o'clock hour, when I got home from work, I had Chuck, Life Unexpected, Greek, Castle, all waiting to be watched, and I just started watching them, and pretty soon it was way past when I'd normally go to sleep, and but I wanted to see them. I wanted to see them all. I wanted to see what they did with the, you know, the Castle two-parter, and I wanted to see Chuck, and I wanted to see, you know, and, well, actually, I didn't have Greek this week, because I actually had seen it ahead of time, but,
You didn't think they would kill Kate off, did you?
No, I didn't think they'd kill Kate off. I just was interested to see how they wrote how she survives. I mean, I guess that she jumps in the... I mean, I was talking to a friend at work, and I was like, she probably jumped in the bathtub and was saved from the fire of the explosion and stuff like that. I just think to jump to a different show quickly is... That was poor, like, editing, directing, putting together, is that it... When you see the end of the first episode, is they make that seem much faster. Like if they would have...
What show are we talking about?
Castle. They make that seem from her standing there to the showing you the explosion.
Yeah.
It happens like really fast, and so it doesn't seem possible that she could have got there. It seems possible that she could have been saved from the fire the way that she was, but not that she could have got there from where she was. In the time frame that they show you that the explosion happens. And so, but I think that could have been something they could have just added a few more seconds between the explosion.
Right.
But they sort of want to make you think she's dead. And so the way they do that is to make it seem impossible. But the problem is even once you see it, it still seemed impossible. But other than that, was the only flaw of the episode, though. I like the rest of it.
Cool.
But anyways.
Moving on to another show that's a bone of contention for me. Point of contention. Lost. Mm-hmm. Season 6, Episode 9, Episode 10, Eterno? And The Package. Okay. Because I thought that Nestor Carbonell was incredible. But it was a really good acting showcase. Gave us some answers. The boat crashed the tower over and I don't know whatever happened to that story. And then I did not like the Sunjin story at all.
Once again, in the episode, is you got answers, but you got answers to things I didn't really care about. Like,
are we talking about the Richard episode?
Yeah, I didn't care about that he was 183 years old or whatever, you know. Or you kind of already knew that because you already knew that he was on the ship and what time frame those ships were from, and it had already been speculated that that's how I still don't understand how a wood ship hits a stone statue and the statue loses more than the ship does, but you know, stuff like that. But some of the things that you get as answers, you either already knew and this just fleshed it out just a little bit and gave you, you know, it gave you a very interesting and good backstory to watch. And then the next episode, The Package, I liked how the story's tied in with the Saeed story, in the Flash Sideways. I mean, that was fun, the way that those that they're having a little bit more things tying together in those situations. Mm-hmm. But once again,
the Russian got his eye shot out.
But once again, there's not much happens, and when it's Desmond is the package, you were just like, kind of figured that already. And
no, that's not true. I thought it was their kid. I did not think it was Desmond. I had no idea it was Desmond. Actually, that's not true. Yeah. I knew it was Desmond because somebody on Twitter spoiled me. Thanks a lot. I was full of hatred.
And
more so than I already had.
But right now, I'm just like, each episode is good in its own way. But right now, I'm basically like checking off the days, you know, until you're on vacation type of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm just biding time, checking off episodes until we get to the finale. Now I've just kind of
yeah, I think the finale's not going to impress either. I'm over it. I'm watching until the end, but I'm over it.
I don't know. Just what's been happening is not. I don't know. It's really put me in an odd spot where I just feel like I'm just biding time, just waiting for the finale, and that's sort of a weird thing with a show like Lost, where you're usually like, I'm looking forward to the next episode, not I'm just can't wait till these episodes are over so I can get to the end.
Ray?
I'm enjoying them.
What is it that you're enjoying?
I don't know. I like the characters. The episodes make me laugh. I'm involved in the episode. I feel like it's, yes, they're answering things that we've assumed, but we didn't have answers, so it was just us assuming. I mean, I guess that's the fault of, or not the fault, but that's the bad side of, downside of having a lot of discussions about a show is that you discuss things a lot and come up with theories, and then when they answer the question, you feel like, oh, we already knew that. Well, we didn't know that for sure. I mean, we assumed it, but, you know, they needed to answer it, so I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I'm just enjoying it. I'm not loving them, I should say. I certainly didn't love the Richard one like everybody else seemed to at all.
I didn't love the episode. I loved the performance. That was my issue. I think that Nestor Carbonell was genius. But like you said, like I didn't love the episode. I loved the performance. So that's where I stand on that.
But I'm still enjoying them, so.
And, you know, I say like, oh, I hated it. But that's, let's be honest. It's one of my favorite shows on TV. I wouldn't say, oh, I hated it if I truly did. I wouldn't watch it if I truly hated it. And I don't hate everything, parentheses, John, end parentheses, but I did, like, I just, it's like a natural reaction when there's, like, I don't know. I'm just so fed up with wanting answers or wanting something and not getting things that I'm just, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's been, this Flash Sideways thing and stuff has been interesting, and and the last couple, you know, have stories have sort of met, you know, with Sawyer catching Kate and then, you know, well, you already knew that Jen was in the, but seeing how Jen ended up there and that something took place after.
What are we talking about, the freezer or?
Well, you saw in Saeed's episode, he found Jen in the freezer.
Right.
But now you see how he got there, and then you see that stuff takes place after that at the restaurant. And so those things, I enjoy watching those, and they're doing a really good job of putting these things together. But it's almost like it's dragging out too long when you know that what's coming is the end, I think. It's almost like,
right.
It's in some respects, it's almost like, yeah, a show like this, you need to put an end on it, you know, so that everybody stays invested and knows that that they're going to get an ending. But then on the other hand, knowing that there's an ending coming is putting a different spin on a show that you don't normally get this far ahead of time. And so I think that it's playing a little bit with my thoughts on the episode that, you know, if you were watching these right now and you didn't know that this was going to be the end of the season, you know, it was still in question, these might seem more interesting than they do now when you know that you only have a few episodes left and to answer what the island is all about and what's going on.
Well, Lost, we're all going to keep watching and that'll be that. And I'm sure we'll have more to say about it as we continue watching and hating. Moving on. Wednesday, Modern Family, Season 1, Episode 19, Game Changer. Ray, you wanted to mention something about this show, I believe.
I just wanted to talk about the quote-unquote product placement, since it's been a hot topic on the web past 3 days. What?
It has. Have an opinion on it? I'd like to hear yours and see if we share it.
Don't you know my opinion? I thought it was a great example of product placement. I mean, it wasn't actually product placement, but what did you just say?
I said I thought that's what you said. I wasn't sure.
I find it interesting that the two best uses of product placement have not been product placement, in that the iPad storyline on Modern Family and the McDonald's flurry on 30 Rock.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't watch 30 Rock enough to know what that means. But
they were both integrated very well into the story. They didn't seem
That's because when you don't have to do something.
Yeah.
When it truly comes from a place of actually something because you want to endorse it.
Unlike, has everybody watched Bones? Did everybody watch Bones this week?
Yes.
Yes. Unlike
Angela's Toyota Sienna van?
Yeah, Angela's Toyota Sienna. Exactly.
And the random trip that they're sent on for a drive out of the, for no reason other than to for somebody to ask her why she has a minivan. And
I think that it totally worked because Phil, it has been established that Phil is a tech head.
Yeah,
he has a new gadget all the time, and it's not something that suddenly, oh, because his birthday, like, it's totally organic to the story. It was the focus of the story, but only so we could see the reaction of the characters. It was totally just there as a driving force. It could have been anything. It just happened to correspond with when the iPad was
hanging out. I think the other important factor is that none of the other characters were salivating over it. Only Phil was the one who cared about it. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like they actually cared about it. Why they cared about it was because she didn't get it and she had to fix it and get one. It was about a family.
The girls and the son. Like, it was about them coming together to help their mother who had failed to get her something, to get something for her dad. Like, and it didn't, the only reason Mitchell was involved is because, you know, they're related and she needed him to come help her. And it wasn't that he knew that Phil had to get this iPad. It was because he was helping his sister. And like, Jay is so well off, you would expect that in a situation like that, he would just be able to get an iPad. But no, they showed that they had to work together and pretend that he was dying and have the little idiot kid save the day.
Right. I mean, I think that maybe what they could have done was have, when Mitchell came up and there was an entire line there, he maybe could have commented on the line, like, really? But that's right. The only thing. And I felt like the pan down on the store, I think, was done because the Apple stores are always just so impressive looking. Like, if you're an Apple fan, like, you think that the Apple store is impressive looking. So I think they did it for that reason. But I think that maybe that was, they didn't have to do that as much. Right. And obviously that was just them doing it. But you know what I mean? Because it wasn't that was the only point at which I felt like they really kind of made it seem like a product placement moment. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't, somebody said that they paused on the Apple Store logo. They didn't pause on it. They just panned down on it.
They just sort of opened wide so that you could see that it was an Apple Store that this long line was in front of instead of.
The Apple Store at the Grove.
Instead of you knew that's where she was going.
Where else would she go? Exactly. Like, everybody knew she'd be at an Apple Store. To prove that it was at the Grove, maybe. It's very clearly the Apple Store at the Grove. You know, they shot there for real. And I know that because I put a charger there.
I liked it because it was product integration, they were just using a real product, you know, or it was product placement. In any of these situations, I don't care which one it is, to me it works better with something like an iPad. Because the thing that bothers me is in shows is when they make up some random tech gadget or random thing that's supposed to be super special to drive a story like this.
J.J. Abrams invented the iPad in Felicity. A lot of Felicity on the show today, guys.
You know, instead of taking an actual item that there is buzz about or, you know, that people will be standing in line for and apparently already are standing in line for in some places today.
Wow.
For me, I've always been a person that when watching shows and, you know, somebody goes and grabs a soda or gets a bowl of cereal or something like that, I've always thought that it was dumb that it was something fake. And so now when
It doesn't really bother me when something's fake.
When you see a real product in a show, it makes it all seem more real to me, and I like it. I actually like it better, and it's when it's obvious product placement, when it's only
like in 24 and Alias.
Yeah, or Bones, you know, it's the same sort of thing, just random drive in a car that all of a sudden you got to mention features about the car. That's the one where I understand that they're doing it because, you know, it's sort of the same thing. If you're going to not watch the commercials, then they're going to start putting the commercials into the show. And overall, I'm fine with that because I want them to still continue to make the shows. But I think they can do better. I think if they look at doing some product placement, you know, where it's paid for, but if they look to some of these storylines where they've used actual products that have worked well as sort of a template of how to do it.
I think this is my other thing too. The Sienna doesn't deserve hype.
Right.
That sounds horrible to say, but I mean, like, the people who drive a Sienna aren't like hyping up their Sienna. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Come on,
the
camera in the back is the best
hype thing
ever.
It actually is the coolest thing ever, but you could do it more organically, like if she almost hit something and they see it in the camera. You know what I mean? Like, there's a better way to do it. But anyway, that's besides the
point. If somehow it was worked into the storyline that she was actually carrying some art pieces and some stuff to someplace, not just out for a random drive in the middle of an episode that didn't really make sense.
Yes, right. Again, or if you made it more organic to the storyline.
Yeah, where she's actually using the product for what she says that she has it for, you know, type of thing.
Whereas Phil's thing, the iPad, is something that is really being hyped at the moment, so it totally fit the idea of what he was saying. Again, partly because nobody else was like, oh my God, you have to get, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If anything, they maybe could have had one of the kids say something about it being cool. But other than that, right. Like, it was just Phil being hyped about it. And I guess for me, the other thing, quite frankly, is that that is part of my life. Like, that is who I am. I'm not standing in line for it right now, obviously. But you know what I mean? Like, my friends are the ones who when I got the email this week from Apple about, starting at 9 a.m., you can come see the iPad in the store. I was totally expecting a phone call to say, are we going to see the iPad? So that's what I mean by, like, it's actually real. Like, people do it. Like, and I guess it helps that we went to the Paley Fest thing with Modern Family, and Steve, the co-creator, talked about how the whole remote thing when
when she broke the column up
to figure out how to work the remote, that was something that actually happened, that they draw from their own life, that clearly it was something that happened within his family. So all I could think when this was happening is I was like, he's going to be at the store when he's probably got it pre-ordered already.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it was so clearly something like a story about his reaction or their type of reaction to a tech item that's coming out. Like, Phil is kind of how I see that character now, I guess, is that Phil is equals Steve. What is his last name?
Levitan.
Thank you. Like, that is totally how I see him now. So to me, all I could see was that it clearly was Steve saying, I can't wait for this to come. Like, it's going to be in my mailbox the day it comes out, type of thing.
Right.
And the funny thing is, so many people, like, they were like, oh, it was fine until it got to the very end. And then it was like over the top ad. And I was like, okay, well, first of all, when was the last time somebody brought out some new tech item and everybody didn't gather around it to look at it and
that's
say,
that's true.
Well,
exactly.
And the person who bought it was like, yeah, you can touch. No, don't touch.
Exactly.
Like, you know, when I go to the laundromat and I'm reading on my Kindle, people stop and want to look at my Kindle. And it's not about them loving the Kindle. It's not all about, you know what I mean? I was like, really? That's over the top when that's actually what happened? Plus, I'll be honest.
It's something that you've heard about, but you haven't actually seen one, and you see somebody with one, you know.
So you ooh and you awe over it. And quite frankly, I have personally crooned to my own technology, I love you.
I thought that was hilarious.
See?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was one of the best scenes in the whole thing, is when he's telling his iPad that he loves it, and then his wife walks in and thinks that he's talking to her, and then he sort of covers.
The camera catches him.
But, And then she leaves and he goes back to basically, you know, he's spinning things down the page, but it looks like he's petting his iPad, basically.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think that previous episode that you mentioned with the remote and stuff like that set in the story that this guy is a tech guy. He likes the latest gadget.
Exactly.
And
he's a techie.
And stuff like that. And so, as I said earlier, I like it when it makes more sense to me, whether it's paid or not, for an episode like this to have an actual item, you know, a real thing, and for it not to have been some made-up tech thing, because then it seems it doesn't play as well as they're trying to get it, because...
Right. I mean, ultimately, they're not going to make anybody happy, so... Or not anybody, but everybody. So I think they went the best route they could, and it worked for me.
Me as well. That's, I think it's more the critics. The people who always pick out the product placement are the people who really...
Yeah.
I felt like they bitched about it the most. Like, I'm just like, well, you know what? You're never going to be happy with anything. Like, you see everything as product placement, so... Like, those people were the people who were like, oh, product placement, they sold themselves. Then when they find out that it wasn't product placement, that they truly just did it, then they're like, that's even worse. I'm like, really? How can it be one or the other?
Yeah. I mean, in some respects, because it comes out the same week as it makes it seem more, you know, like...
I don't think so. I think they planned it that way.
Well, yeah, of course it makes sense because it's in... The episode makes more sense because that's sort of in the air right now. You know, people have heard about it and know about it right now, and so to me,
oh my God, we're talking forever about this.
To me, I just think I always find it funny when people complain about what I would term good product placement. It's like where it moved the story perfectly. It worked exactly the way it needed to. To give you, I mean, there was lots of stuff that happened with the kids and the cake and the balloons and him going to the batting cages and all that stuff that revolved around the getting and not getting of this one, you know, one piece that, you know, it doesn't seem like something to complain about. Like, if you laughed at the episode, you should be...
Yeah, shut your trap.
You should be happy.
So anyway, that's Modern Family. That's our take on it. We're moving on because we've talked about, we've basically acted out the whole episode. So it's time to move on.
I actually did that last night at work. I was telling somebody about the episode that hadn't, you know, that doesn't
watch
the show.
I don't know if you want to tell people that. I just acted out a half hour comedy.
Well, I didn't act it out, but I was like going through all the stuff that was funny, and pretty soon, probably, I told him most everything that happened in the episode.
Anyway, moving on to our final show for primetime this week, The Vampire Diaries, Season 1, Episode 15 and 16, A Few Good Men and There Goes the Neighborhood. I much preferred last week's to this week's, but I thought they were both good. I loved last week's because there was so much happening. It was so fast. It was so great. I didn't love the ending to this week's. I think Jeremy needs to be killed off. And, I mean, maybe that's
the way
they're going.
Maybe that'll happen in the process.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. I don't know. I'm truly enjoying everything about this show. And, well, maybe except the Dobrev, but she's not killing me as much as she used to.
Well, the Jeremy storyline aside... Although it does, it's not that it's not that that's so bad. It's how it's developed is one sort of off thing.
Yeah.
That
one week he's binging vampires on Bing.com because they can't use Google. The next week he is
on product
some website.
Placement.
Oh, how do I kill a vampire? Because I kind of think maybe someone I know might be one. And then all of a sudden he's like, I want you to turn me.
Well, they set it up. He also asked, how do you become a vampire? You know, he was asking multiple questions in that little chat room thing. And so they set up multiple things to whether does he think that she's a vampire and he's going to try and kill her, or does he think he's a vampire and, you know, he wants to become a vampire. And
because he wants to be with this girl that he's known for a week. He wants to be with her forever. Is that what the story is?
No, it's more that he's lost. He doesn't have any connection with anything, and he thinks that maybe this would fix his problems or whatever, or that it'd just be... But anyways, that storyline aside, this week's episode with the vampires getting out of the, all being out of the tomb and whatnot, but staying there, is helping me with the show because... the problem for the show for me going forward is how long can you put up being one of the people that knows about the vampires? How long can you put up with Damon when he's led to the death of your best friend's grandmother? He's led to the death of your ex-boyfriend's sister.
He killed your mother.
Well, you find that out.
She's not dead. She's alive. But he turned your mother.
Turned her mother. And that it starts to go down this thing that it becomes, pretty soon there becomes things that are too far that you can't, that for me, you would just go, okay, you can't go much farther with this. And how are you going to bring it back, you know, and keep this character on the show and actually, you know, going forward? It just doesn't, it's like a big thing out there within the show that bothers me. But having this new group that's obviously stronger and more badass than Damon with Miss Pearl alleviates that problem, at least for a while, because there's somebody that Damon has to deal with, and you wouldn't want to necessarily do away with somebody that would possibly help against these other vampires that are wanting to take back over the area.
Right.
So I'm liking that storyline because it's partially alleviating a problem that the show was developing for me. That while I like the show and I like the way they write things and the twists and the turns and the, I mean, they do a really good job of scripting these things out. I think the more I look at it, like I said last time when we talked about it, that I'm not really sure what it is that I like about the show, but thinking about it more, I think that is it. What I do like about it is the writing and the scripting of the stories. They do a really good job of that for the most part. Every once in a while you have something happen like the Jeremy storyline where it just seems like where you have something happen and then he's nowhere to be seen in an episode, which right. seems bizarre because...
He's too busy binging vampires.
Well, you know, it seems odd that you wouldn't, at least in passing, see him, you know, when you're following his sister around the whole day, you know, for 2 or 3 days, that you would never bump into her brother.
I haven't seen my brother in 2 weeks.
When they live in the same
house. We don't live in the same house, that's true.
But you know that that's for financial reasons, and the way they do stuff is characters are not in every episode and stuff. And sometimes it seems more glaring than others. And so when he pops back up, and now all of a sudden he's... But I did like that... He still has the memories of
Vicky and
of Vicky.
Yeah.
He has the memories, but they're memories that Damon installed in him of all that wacky behavior before she disappeared was her on drugs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And but he, you know, putting that together. But all this searching Bing and stuff like that to find stuff is a little too much on the
I think Jeremy needs to go upstairs at the end of the season and never come back down like the Middle Winslow child on Family Matters. Putting that out there.
Well, I don't know. They have a lot of places to go with what they're doing.
Well, we'll see. I like it, but I'm going to just hold my breath until they prove to me that they can keep me enthralled. So that's prime time this week. And I still have somebody to love in my head. Anyway. Each morning I get up, I die a little. Anyway.
All right, quickly, on a Buffy Angel front, I'm 10 episodes away from finishing Angel. I finished Buffy. I really liked season 7 Buffy. I like how it ended. I thought it worked really well. But I wanted to ask Ray about season 4 of Angel and what she thought of season 4. Or both of you, for that matter.
I love it.
I was never as big a fan of Angel as I was of Buffy, but I like season 4, too. I like Angel in general. I don't know.
I mean, I didn't love what happened with Cordelia, but I loved the rest of it.
Yeah, I like this. I mean, I see what they were going for, and I like what they did. I just don't like some of how they got there. With the Cordelia storyline, I just thought that over the course of Buffy and into Angel, that was one of the best written character arcs of growth in a character, you know, slow incremental growth of a character. I mean, a lot of the characters do that on Buffy, and, you know, like, obviously, like, Willow has a great character arc over the course of the series. But then all of a sudden, what happens for Cordelia, what you see on screen for that character or, you know, that actress, and then she's gone, it just seemed like,
well, you know,
well, that's no way
facts,
to...
Sometimes stuff that happens behind the scenes affects what happens on the screen.
Yeah.
It can affect, obviously, but to me it just affected what had been such a great... I mean, they semi-redeem it with the 100th episode, that at least she goes out on a positive note, you know, so to speak. But, I don't know, it just, it drug down what otherwise was decent. And also, in season 4, I just couldn't take... People talk about not liking Dawn on Buffy. I could care less. I didn't mind Dawn at all on Buffy. But Connor on Angel... bothered me, especially in season 4. And mostly it just bothered me that just watching it, he was always on the wrong side. No matter what, he always seemed to end up on the wrong side, and that just got boring and monotonous to me. And, I mean, I know that how it ends up working into how they start out to go to season 5 and that type of stuff, but still just watching it was not... But the Jasmine storyline and all that type of stuff, that was all interesting. Because
Gina Torres kicks ass.
Was, you know, a lot of other stuff that was good within the season. But some of that just drew down. And overall, I just find it interesting that the 4th season of Buffy and the 4th season of Angel are my least favorite of both.
Hmm. I gotcha. So that's that. That's Buffy and Angel. Recap. Oh, somebody asked about where my West Wing recap is. I am still in season 6, and that's just because I've stopped watching, but not because I wanted to, because I've had other things to watch. So I'll get back to it soon, and I'll let you all know how I feel. I still love it, and I still reference it every time I can. So there's that. All right. I think that's it, you guys.
I think you are correct.
I have a big trip planned at the end of the month.
A super secret trip?
No, not at all. I'm going to see some friends. Thought I'd let everybody know. Right, Ray?
Excited.
I'm so excited. These are my favorite people.
Know?
I love these people. Anyway, P.S. It's Ray.
Hence why she's letting me know, you know, before she arrives on my doorstep.
Exactly. Guess what, Ray? I'm coming over. anyway, so I just thought that was exciting. Anyway.
With a call from your cell phone right outside the doorstep?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about visiting. Ding dong.
Happy. I would totally do that to other people, like that I'm stalking, but not to Ray. I don't give her warning.
Kiefer, watch out.
Anyway, Kiefer's got a lot of time on his hands now. The show's been canceled. Come on.
All right. That's it. Are we done?
Yeah, I gotta go. I was telling everybody, you guys, that tonight I'm in charge of bringing dinner to my family, so I actually have to go and bring them their dinner.
What's on the menu?
Pizza. It's Good Friday, so we can't eat any. Well, nobody can eat any meat, so I'm providing some cheese pizza.
Oh.
Yes.
If you want to leave comments, you know, the website, tvtimes3.com.
Fill it all out.
And Twitter, same... TV times 3, not the .com, you know, whatever.
What else? Out.
iTunes, all those places. Leave some comments, send us some email. Our music was provided by iodapromonet.com. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title, put out by Yellow Dog Records.
Hey guys.
Not my friends, is it?
On that note, I gotta eat.
I'm now hungry for pizza.
Pizza's good anytime. Pizza's good all the time.
Shouldn't
pizza
ask
in
what
the
was
morning.
On the menu.
And pizza at supper time. When pizza's on a bagel, you can have pizza anytime. This podcast brought to you by Bagel Bites.
Speaking of product placement.
Seriously, I gotta go.
That wasn't product placement, people. That was organic product integration.
It was organic product integration. I gotta go.
They didn't pay us, so if it was product placement, you better be calling them up, because I'm expecting it.
They want to pay us. Find me later. Right. I'll eat. Anyway, I gotta go.
All right, bye.
Bye.
We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
We'll see if Ray is Can get back in the get back in the swing of things.
All right, here we go.
She's gonna try.
Hello and that was me. That was you. All right, I'm going now. Shut up, Amory.